from PRX.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that encourages you to be kind to one another. And if you can perform one or two acts of kindness this week, we're trying to get 70,000 acts of random kindness out there in the world. And it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep.
All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? How much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, I do need, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
I hate you all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep. Well, welcome. If you have trouble staying asleep too, you're welcome. Because this is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you up at night, whether it's thinking, feeling, sensing, stuff, any stuff, things, pressing, noise, whatever is it. I don't know. Sometimes I'm always like, geez, should I be too vague or too specific? Because everybody's kind of going on their own journey. And I think one of the things is a lot of people listen to this podcast for a lot of different reasons, but we can all relate in some people. And so for some people, this is the daytime when they listen, but the term a deep dark night, because that's what I'm trying to send my voice across and try. I want to think of a witty word to come after try, but because I'm sending it across the metaphorical deep dark night, I'm sending it across the I already screwed it up because I forgot what the other one was. The deep dark night, the figurative, figurative and metaphorical are pretty cool. Okay, well, pretty close and the same aren't the same. I guess we got to get rid of try because I'm trying to send it across the deep, dark night, which is also like a broader metaphor for my internal critic who's sitting here right with me every moment. He's a wonderful internal critic. I say, okay, thanks for Durant. You see, well, that's why you don't mess with your internal critic. You just keep going. That's why you talk about things in a figurative manner. Okay, well, I'm not trying to have any kind of confrontations in this opening. We're all just here to send our voices across the deep, dark night, even though the listeners are only hearing one voice. Can we just, you know, let's get a group hug going here. I don't need to quiet my brain or try it. I'm bringing, hey, figurative, come on over here. Figurative deep, dark night, come on in. Metaphorical, not a bit deep, dark night, come on over here. Internal critical deep dark night. Can I just call you that? That's a shorter version, and it will pat you on the back. You know, not everybody can be a critic 24/7. However many days I've been, you know, whenever I became kind of, you know, I wonder when you we've talked about that before. When did you pop into existence? But I wanted to rail the opening here. I just want to say you're all doing a darn good job. Because I really say I'm as fallible, you know, that we're, I'm as they come, you know, I'm not perfect, far from it. And you all have to grapple with me. And I can see you two, you're so similar, you're like the twin, the figurative metaphorical twins. Yeah, no, that doesn't work, you're right. The metaphors, we're similarly. Like the deep dark night, come on over, get over here. I love making cheap simile jokes. Sorry, simile, I even let you down a little bit. Is there a word simulian? Because I think, you know, a simulian, that was a simulian attempt at a simile. That was like, you know, if I had a tiny bit more wit, I wouldn't be able to make a sleep podcast simile. So we're all just doing our best here in the deep, dark night. That's what I was trying to tell the listeners, too. So you can all hang out. Yeah, just hang. Okay, you don't believe me. Remember, it's been a while since I had nighttime treats. For all of you, you know, deep, dark night stand-ins, representatives, you're right. You're not stand-ins. You're representatives. Stand-ups. But sit down for now because I got to get back to the listeners. Sorry about that. I got interrupted by, you know, the stuff of the podcast. You know, there's a bunch of different reasons why people can't sleep. And by trying not to listen to them, I somehow got directly engaged with some of my own. But I think, like, what is relatable to a lot of people, whether it's the daytime or the nighttime, whether you're on second shift, third shift, or regular shift, or, you know, you're trying to take a nap in your car, you're getting poked by a stick shift, whatever it is, I think a lot of us can relate to that feeling right in those gaps between deep and dark and night, the gaps that fill up with thoughts, that fill up with feelings, that when we, you know, a lot of times we're striving for meaning, whether we know it or not, and then those little deep, dark night gullies, you say, oh boy, all of a sudden you're getting this profound meaning about your life, and it's not necessarily good. And sometimes it can feel so real. And sometimes it could just be a microscopic version of that, like where the hell did I put my car keys? And then you can't get to sleep. I guess if you're new here, what the podcast does is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. You know, that's been stated once or twice already. To take your mind off of stuff. That's what the safe place is. I'm going to take your mind off of stuff. You can rest here. All your brain parts. I call them brain bots sometimes. Tonight I'm calling them, I guess brain bots is still the wittiest term I've come up with. And thank you. Internal critics just said I've used witty 3 times. I said, you got it. Won't be using that again. Because my face, I'm blushing. And I'm not kidding either. He said, geez. He said, can you experience mild embarrassment during your own? I said, yeah, you can. But the whole idea of this podcast is to distract you from whatever it is that's keeping you up. Like, you don't have to take me seriously. I don't take myself seriously, but I do take the business of making this podcast very seriously. And so somehow that balances out. So I'll be here. I'm going to be telling a story. Get through this intro for, you know, I'll explain the podcast. I like over-explaining. Because then it gives you permission to listen less. And then as the podcast goes on, you might listen a little bit less and more. And, you know, just see if that'll shut, you know, that might even, you know, instantly cut. Did he just say less more? Yeah, I remember less more. He was, I think that there was I didn't realize it till just now. I think there was a paint shop in Syracuse called Less More's. And you say that's either brilliant or just, you know, whatever they call that, synchronicity. Less Moore's paints. No, I guess there's nothing, it can't come up with anything that good there. No, I did not use the W word. So you don't have to take me seriously. You can kind of listen, but I'm going to try to take your mind off of stuff. I brought treats for all the parts of you that are, you know, I got sugared melatonin. I've got a frosty, free dried and freeze dried chamomile. And as you believe me, it's as light as a feather. I don't know what else I have. Lavender pops, of course. What do you? I don't know what else I have. I have lavender pops. You say, what's a lavender pop, Scoots? I'd say, well, use your imagination, because that's where my lavender pops are manufactured. Yeah, they're on a stick, which actually isn't a stick, because what could be less bed friendly than a stick? They're on a stick of air, frosted and frozen, with only the gentlest florals of lavender, the essences of lavender, distillations, but combined with a sweet ambrosia. Which I still am not clear on what ambrosia is. I mean, I know when people bring it to a party, it's pudding with, or no, it's Jell-O with marshmallows in there, I think. Or it's got, maybe it's Cool Whip, or whatever that is, non-dairy topping. I think, like, maybe part of my gray matter is that, like, a like non-dairy topping mixed with some, you know, like brain cells that said, you know, they checked out, you know, they said, we'll just whip it up with some non-dairy topping. Never should have gone into that, you know, I said, hey, doc. He said, well, I'm not a doctor, my friend. I'm a scientist. And I said, well, I just got this brain thing going. And he said, oh, tell me more. And he said, would you like to see my laboratory? It's sponsored by Cool Whip, dairy, non-dairy topping. And this was back when, you know, before people were really aware of lactose intolerance. So he was way ahead of the curve. But I do believe he did replace my brain. Well, he didn't really replace it, but just a part of it. He just whipped it together like that ambrosia, but it was, you know, gray matter. And a non-dairy topping, brainosia. Sorry, sometimes I try to do. Sometimes the words come right together. But anyway, the podcast is a little bit silly, not too serious. It's a sleep offering, and what that means is you can fall asleep. You don't have to fall asleep. You can listen. I'll be here all the way to the end, giving it my all. But you don't need to. You can always listen tomorrow. Or you say, well, she's a wicked, you know, it's like a, this guy says he's got a brain that's 40% non. No, well, I guess you're right. It's not 40% non-dairy topping. Because, you know, it's mixed in. So you say, yeah, maybe it's, but it's so whipped, you know, it creates a little more mass or, I guess mass is the wrong word. It takes up more space. So my brain still balances it back out, I think. But so, what was my point there? My point was you don't have to take me seriously. You could listen again, or some people, you fall asleep when you fall asleep. There'd be two more episodes this week. They try to keep things familiar, but always a variety of stuff. But all to put you to sleep. I guess I got really distracted for the third or fourth time when I was thinking about those lavender pops. And they started talking about ambrosia. So you can see, if you've tried to follow my logic, it's, you know, it's it just does not commute, compute. Does not compute. it does help commute you, you know, across the threshold from wake to sleep. But the main message is, I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you stopping by, especially if you're skeptical. The totally sensible reaction. You say, okay, so this guy makes a podcast to put people to sleep with hypnosis, or what kind of pseudoscience does he practice? And they say, well, he claims he's a Simulian. I don't know what school of science that is. This, and then someone else would probably say, that's mad science. He's trying to deconstruct similes. They say, okay, and then you'd realize that person's in on it with me. He said, that's still the guy that makes the podcast. How would you deconstruct a simile anyway? It's only the kind of madness a man with a non-dairy topping based brain can come up with. I can't lose this non-dairy, because who the heck came up with that non-dairy? You see, could you come up with a name more clinical than, I mean, because Cool Whip's a pretty good name. Is that the mayonnaise, the non-dairy mayonnaise, or the non-dairy based dessert topping? You say, okay, come up with a sweet name, and then the generic name will be just so lame. Or they'll be like, Cool Whip, oh boy. I was the result of a lawsuit. He said, oh boy, I need some more of that Cool Whip. Must be good for me. And then at some point they said, well, you got to actually tell them what's in there. Or what is it exactly? I guess, yeah, it's probably, you're right, it was probably the milk barons said, the dairy barons, excuse me. And they said, well, we want to, you know, the result was, let's come up with the most clinical basis and non-dairy based topping, because we want them to, you know. Anyway, I guess I always try to avoid offending lobbying groups, but luckily this is far enough in that, you know, they just say he's a Simulian that can't even deconstruct his simile. I say, well, I just pull a lichen ass out of there. And they say, well, that's destroying a simile. Deconstructing a simile is much different business. And I say, well, okay, excuse me, metaphorian. And realize, you know, we had to be on different sides of the fence, a proverbial fence, if you get my meaning. Anyway, and sometimes I just heap on this lunacy. I don't know. I guess I'm goofing around. Mildly funny, mildly entertaining. That's my goals. But actually, that's about it. I'm glad you're here. That's what I was going to say. If you're skeptical, totally appreciate that. Totally makes sense. I appreciate you stopping by, and I really hope I really earned to help you fall asleep, all right? Housekeeping. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful podcast. Make sure you check that out. He does the editing for this episode and the theme music. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank Jonathan Mann, who does the lullabies, and he's at jonathanmann.net if you'd like to commission a song from him for a special occasion or a loved one, go for it. We have a Facebook group, the listeners do, and I want to thank the moderators over there. It says sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S, and moderating over there are Summer, Sarah, Lytle I, Jennifer B, Julie C, and Laura, B to the S to the R. And then we have a subreddit over sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit. I want to thank Latitude and Joe, who's been active over there. And I think that's it. Let's keep the program going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, everybody. So it's Scoots here. It's, I don't even know the date. It's Saturday night. It's June. And this is, okay, what are we going to do tonight? We're going to do a trending Twitter Tuesday episode. I think, let's say, I thought I knew how to use this Twitter, but here we go. Trends. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's see. Let's not pick the USA. I don't like the way they're trends. Okay, I had to pause it, and I guess I had to make it, I guess, an audible. I guess this is audible. My voice, so I had to make an audible. Because I don't know, the Twitter trends, there's a couple that it was, I found distasteful. Or I said, well, I don't know. So I made an audible over here at Reddit. So I guess this will be a Rending Ruse Day Redditation. And I know some people are maybe, you know, if you're with me right now, you might be a new, you could be a new listener. And you could, you know, you could might have fallen for my, you know, my brilliant voice acting, in, you know, in prefaces, you like, where you're like, Scooter's kind of a bit of a buffoon, and, you know, he just seems like a, you know, you just want to pat me on the head, and you say, he's, you know, I think he, did he say one of his autobiographies is going to be called The Boy with No Edge? I said, no, The Edgeless Boy, I was thinking. Don't you think that sounds better? The Edgeless Boy. No, pushed over the edge. The edgeless boy pushed over the edge. How about that? I guess, or maybe it's just, you know, a need to expose. But so, you know, I say, well, I guess I've, you know, I've kept, there's people that haven't listened in, like, that are less than a year of listeners might not know about some of my other, like, things, like, cool, you know, the cool things I do. Besides putting people to sleep and watching television and taking obsessive notes so I can put people to sleep. And, you know, some of you have listened recently. You heard my, like, maybe a few months ago that me and my dog listen to Knox. That's my one big hobby, listening to Knox. And it's not a hobby I put out there to be judged. You know, it's just that's a pastime, listening to Knox. And just to set that up, just in case you're real new, K-O-N-C-K-S, yes. When I'm in my pastime, when I'm not podcasting or working on the podcast, well, my number one pastime is worrying or, you know, thinking. But, you know, if obviously I got to do something to distract me from that, just like everybody else has hobbies. I mean, I guess you could say the podcast is a hobby, a full-time hobby, but it's just a pastime is Knox. Me and my dog, we've listened to Knox. Now, like, this is not what this episode's about, so I don't want to get too caught up on it, but you could email, I'm not interested in getting other people into this hobby, because it's, but we listen to Knox, recorded Knox, people knocking on doors, we just call it Knox. From around the world, there's a group of people, small community of knock enthusiasts, myself and my dog Koa included, and we, you know, that we exchange knocks with other people. And I said, she said, I could, but that's what I do. So that's one of my pastimes. So you might hear that and you say, okay, but this is just in your, you know, that doesn't, wait a second, I'm sorry, what, you and your dog listen to Knox? I don't understand. Okay, some people listen to music, some people listen to podcasts, some people listen to, I'd compare it to ham radio or something. We listen to recordings of people knocking on doors, yeah, and we you can do with it what you wish. Some people have, I was lucky enough to meet one of the, you know, a live knockoff, we called it. It changed the name after that. That was, I tried to host the first knockoff, but then ended up there was one more wealthy person, and they had actually in their garden, very artistic, I thought, they had hidden speakers where different knocks, then they created a knock walk. And if you're not a knock enthusiast, you think that's madness. And I say, yeah, we were walking through this gentleman's garden. And from a hidden speaker in a bush, we'd hear a knock. And you say, man, I don't know. My gut's telling me that's an Estonian knock. I don't know why. And then, you know, the other nurse said, well, and she's like, I am detecting salt in the air. And I say, yeah, I think so too. And I said, you know, so that's what knock enthusiasts do. That's about the 2 second version. And me and my dog will do the same thing. My dog, of course, she communicates by nonverbal communication. I mean, mostly, but when you know, when you've heard your first melancholic knock, is that the right word? Melancholic, yeah. A knock, it's not always heavy with melancholy, but you know, a knock that echoes with melancholy will say, you know, you'll never be the same. And that would be a time my dog would communicate by something. She'd say, but anyway, if you hear me talking about knocks, you say, oh, Scooter's a poor guy. But I have another hobby. And you say, you know, because you think, Scooter, are you the most, like, dullest guy, non-fictional character in the world? I say, well, I like to think so. I do. I do like to think so. But I'm not the only one, right? Like, and that's where we get into, like, let's say, you know, I've got a bad boy side, other than, you know, not bad, the side that you're all familiar with, the not bad boy. Where you say, what's Scooter like? Well, he's not bad, you know, he's not great, not bad. That's a Super Me podcast, not bad at all. But yeah, so my other hobby, it's not really a hobby or a pastime. It's an underground world that I enter into with, you know, with reservations always, normally with a headband, you know, and those are the kind of world, you know, with the kind of headband you tie on your forehead. And if you're familiar with any head, you know, stories that require a headband, you know that those aren't the kind of stories you, underground headband stories aren't the stories you enter into lightly. And when I enter into those worlds, it's for a bore down is what we call it. Because you'd say, yeah, I like to think I'm the most, I've got the board game cornered. But I don't, you know, there's other people out there across the globe who consider themselves pretty boring or, you know, and we don't just, you know, boring's a term, you know, it's a relative term. You know, I'll just use the obvious example of that interesting guy from the beer commercials. Like, he's the most interesting man in the world, they say. And it, you know, it's a witty commercial, and it's got some good writing and some good jokes sometimes. Yeah, but it's like an ad for beer, and it says, oh, this is the most interesting man in the world. This is what he does. This is how sweet he is, and this is what he, like, you know, this is one of the beverages he chooses to imbibe. But I could tell you, if you got a hold of a ad archivist at one of the big universities, probably NYU, I would bet they have the best ad archivist or one of their librarians. You'd say, can you get me the most boring beer commercials ever made, or the like lowest performing ones that weren't offensive or whatever, you know, that were hyper realized. And you compared even like some normal person who has like Brad Pitt's life to a beer commercial. You'd say, geez, Brad Pitt's life, you know, in a non-distilled way, is pretty dull compared to this beer commercial. Because I don't know if I have a point in there. I guess it's relative, I guess. You know, interesting lives compared to beer. I guess like, yeah. Even Brad Pitt's life is kind of boring compared to a friggin' beer commercial for the most part. I mean, you've seen that ad recently. I don't think it was for beer, but they take a house on a road trip and they have a party in a house while it's on a flatbed. And I said, that looks awesome. They said, how the hell can I go back to listening to Knox with my dog when I know there's people out there doing stuff like that? And then at least my dog gives me the same. She's, that's a commercial dummy. And I say, oh yeah. Remember when I actually thought that existed and I tried to emulate, and she said, oh yeah. And then she rolls her eyes. I was so bore down is when the great, you know, the bores of the world, as we call, and we take pride in that term, in its relativeness, or at least we do like to, you know, maybe we're the disturbed ones to say, well, I'm relatively boring, whatever the heck that means. But at a bore down, it's underground, you know, you've heard rap battles. You've probably said, well, so rap battles, that's kind of badass. And if you've seen a 70s movie, or even a greaser movie, you say, okay, there's that kind of, you know, or you dance battles, there's dance battles. There's James Corden's got karaoke battles going. I don't know if they're karaoke battles. And so you have dance battles, you have all these things. So we have bore downs, we call it, as opposed to a bore battle. It's more alliterative. But you know, like when you're doing it, we have different traditions. So we do the thing where you snap and we go bore down, bore down, bore down. But we, you know, or we're kneel. What do you call that? Bending our knees, you know, like a musical. And we're going bore down. I can't sing. You know, I can't sing because it might wake somebody up. But I don't even know what musical they do that in, but just like, you know, one of those, you know, because it's cool. A bore down is cool and you know, drenched in danger. And there's participants like me that have a headband. And I'll be honest, a couple, you know, good news, bad news things is that, you know, not everybody in the boredom community is exactly happy with me in this podcast. I guess, yeah, they have mixed feelings. If they find it hilarious and the Sisyphean, there's things they find funny about it, and then the rest of it they don't like. And, you know, luckily I haven't made any riches off the podcast. Otherwise they would, you know, also call me a sellout. And, but making money off being boring is not something to bore. And I think it's just a matter of, I don't know. And I say, well, you're not a real bore, but I am, you know, just so everybody knows, you know, when it comes to bore downs, usually I go to the bore downs. I've been going to them even before I got sober. So before that, you know, I had a bad reputation. I was still boring and I could still go on and do this kind of stuff, you know, but I was even more unpredictable. I guess it was a different kind of unpredictable back in the day. And then, you know, as I've, you know, honed my craft in a new way with, you know, fresh blood in my brain and stuff like that, you know, I'm a competitor and I am a very competitive person. Despite all of my goofing around and stuff, when I hear those snaps and that bore down, bore down, bore down, I honestly, I'm not even exaggerating. I get locked in. And there's a deep desire in me, you know, to bore the pants off. If you could bore pants off of somebody, which you can't, believe me, I've tried. You're boring the pants back on me and they haven't even taken them off is what I've heard before. And they say, yeah. I say, well, have a great day. What's I going to say? There's a little, is the glamorous life of a bore down participant, and you know, it gets wild. But also, you know, because I have a love of competition, because I think, you know, steel hones steel, or whatever they say. Is that what they say? Iron forges iron, or something like that. Iron sharpens iron. I like to be in these bore downs, and I like to be, because it's good for the podcast, you know. And even once in a while, somebody will get a hold of me. In that, you know, it's not a bore down with just one or two people normally. But sometimes someone will call me out, you know, just like you hear in these other creative endeavors. And I'll say, you know, if I'm not busy, I'll bring it, you know. It's already been brought in, you know, the dolls have already been rotten. So a funny thing happened, and it's not funny at all, is that, another thing, you know, to monetize being the lulling, soothing tones and stuff, it's not easy. You know, I've been doing this podcast for over 2.5 years, 400 plus episodes, and I still don't have it quite figured out. I think so. But like a lot of these endeavors, you say, well, geez, you just get a hold of the rich people. And so a lot of us in the board community will, we'll put ourselves out for richer clientele. And I had spent a lot of time with in soccer, football, and actually burnt, you know, a way long time ago, I'd, you know, been in, interacting with these major level soccer teams, including the Argentina, Lionel Messi, in order to make a living. Because you say, well, geez, I'll put your soccer players to sleep or Lionel Messi alone. And, you know, because that helps peak performance. It's been, you know, it's the data shows that you get some good rest, you'll be at peak performance. And, you know, initially it can be a tough sell to say, well, this is some machismo here you got to overcome. I say, yeah, no. This is a strictly business situation. You know, no funny business, just, you know, I'll put your players to sleep, coach. And I don't know what episode it was. It was an early episode of this podcast where I talked about when, you know, I tried, you know, I did work with the Argentinian soccer team briefly until the things didn't, you know, and they caused international incidents, I think they said. I think because it was just because more than two countries were involved. You know, whatever they say, you caused a black eye on our, I think that's what the Canadian said. He said, I forgot how, I said, well, how did I mess it up for you too? You too also said that because they think they were scheduled to sing at something. U.S., obviously Argentina, and then whatever the host, you know, the host country. But, you know, so, but in this may be pomp and circumstance, you know, this may or may not be true is what they'll all say. But I'm not even going to get into details. It's that Lionel Messi, you know, I figured, and I love him, you know, he's an excellent soccer player, wonder to watch, a genius with the ball, poetry in motion, just like my favorite basketball player of all time, Lawrence, poetry in motion, Moten. And what was my point? So Lionel Messi and I, we'd cross paths a while, years ago, and I never thought I'd see him again. And I've been appreciating him from afar, but I know, you know, I had caused him some sleepless nights and they asked for a refund. And I said, well, you never paid me. But whatever. Lionel Messi had got a taste of my lulls, we'll say, in the most neutral way. I mean, I guess it's not neutral. My lulls are good, you know. And any of you that are hardcore listeners, may or may not see where this is going. But recently, was a soccer tournament, by the time you're hearing this, that was hosted here in the USA. And some of the South American, Central American, North American countries are participating in it. And, you know, I said, I was just looking forward. There was like the Euro and the Centauro Cup, I think it was called. And so I was like, this is great, you know, great soccer on TV, international soccer. We had the NBA playoffs. And then right one night was us settling in, and this is just nights ago, just, you know, I like to keep these stories fresh from when I'm recording it. I got a bore down, you know, it was a text from an unknown number. It said bore down. And then it had the snap emoji and that emoji. Can I call it emoji? Which was the first time I'd ever seen that, like, and but I knew what it meant. I said, because then it came back, bore down, snap. And they said, how long till you can be able to drag and drop your emoticon on your words, you know? That should be something. Well, like I said, okay, well, it's time for bore down. And I said, where and when? And of course, it never comes back any other way. I said, tonight. And it said tonight, and then it gave me the address, I said, okay, I guess it's on. And I went into my closet, and I got my headband out, and I tied it to my forehead, and then I told Koa, I may or may not return tonight, but I'm headed to a bore down. And then she just put her head back down, went back to sleep. I said, okay, I'm feeling it. And I headed to this undisclosed location, not too far away. I wasn't surprised. Been a while since I'd been in a bore down. And at first, you know, when it's in that middle stage, you know, that's when the doubt can creep in. I said, should I even go, you know, try to talk myself out of it? They say, what if I don't have it? Or what if I'm just going to get booed? What if I'm like the joke now? The Mr. Boredall or something. But I thought about where could it be? And I figured it was going to be in, I always picture, you know, in some gritty industrial area. In the gritty floor and the metal chairs. And they had a romance, it has romance for me. In like the format, because a bore down could be, are you boring the whole audience? Are you trying to put particular people to sleep? I thought about, you know, just the off chance that if someone, I said, well, geez, wait a second. It might be someone that actually could have the pants bored off them. Just in case, you know, they would definitely, if they're going to be anywhere, be at a bore down. I would hope. I still hold out hope. But this was out of all places, it was after dark. It was after night. And I turned down the road and it went in and it was this showroom, a mattress showroom. But it was tucked off enough off the main boulevard that it was dark and I pulled in there. And the parking lot had a few cars. And their windows were pasted with signs with pricing and, you know, picture, you know, to drive traffic. But I could hear, I could hear it in the back of my brain. I could hear bore down. And as soon as I stepped out of the vehicle I was in and my foot hit the pavement, I was ready. It's no two ways to put it. It's just, actually, I wasn't told ready. My headband had come loose, so I had to It double knotted it. And, you know, some of this sounds funny, but I'm not afraid to be embarrassed by me. And I said, you know, it's on, like to the break of dawn. And really, that's how some bore downs go. And some people say it. And I said, I don't even have any clue what to expect. But then I started hearing talking. In the Bay Area, where I've had a lot of bore downs, in New York City, where back, those are my, you know, that's when I was the mad borer. Oh, no, I think that was one of my, but, it, you know, we're lucky to have a very diverse populations in a cacophony of languages. I think that might be the right use of that. So I could hear some different languages being spoken. So that wasn't surprising to me, but it seemed like I could hear some Portuguese, I could hear some Spanish. And I said, okay, wait a second. But I said, this is like a lot of it. And I'm not bilingual, you know, and barely can speak English. And I'm learning a little bit of Spanish. But these are the challenges I'm more than willing to get into. So then I go into the back of the store. Where I was told to go, and I open the door, and there's a couple people in there look at me from the boar circuit, a couple competitors, and, you know, some people wouldn't make eye contact with me, some people are kind of still friendly, and they said, is this some kind of big time boar down, or because they didn't have, none of them had it like the competitive look, seem like they're hanging backstage, because this was a back, like, administrative warehouse area of this mattress store. And I said, what am I in for here? And the person I kind of trusted the most, they just shook their head. And I said, what is it? I said, because there hasn't been there's been a couple of people that have like my Carlos the Jackal, as we'll say, like that's Jason Bourne's nemesis, I think. that like really stir up fear, like where I'm like, oh boy, I could be outmatched. But there was a part of me looking at this person's face who shook their head that shook with fright for just a moment. But in a bore down situation, that's when fright is at, because then immediately is tempered by like this competitive fire within me. And like they said, no. Like a part of me, I think, I guess somewhere on the border of healthy and unhealthy, that is like, we are not going to lose a bore down. You know, just like that girl said, it's already been brought in. You know, that is my internal cheerleader. That's all she says anyway. And so I said, show me the stage then. And I said, no wonder everybody's acting, and people were acting glum. And I think, and let me just jump ahead with a theory, is that, you know, one thing about this podcast and some of the attention it's been lucky to get is that, you know, people are afraid that the bore circuit, and so I don't promote, you know, obviously I'm not going to tell the listeners about a bore down because that would give me an unfair advantage. One great fear of the borers is that it's going to get a celebrity impact. And I figured that the podcast could catch up with me one day. But right now, you know, I got it spread out. You know, we have a good audience for a podcast, but I'm not. So I don't, I didn't think it was a problem. Yeah, but this is my suspicion of why everyone was sad. At first, I thought it was because I was out of my league. But I walk out on the stage, which was just a showroom. And I look out at this huge mattress showroom, much bigger than I expected. And they'd brought out even more beds. So the entire room was filled wall to wall with beds, with people in the beds, a diverse, wide range of people. But mostly, you know, younger, you know, 18 to in their 30s. But I did see a lot of like light blue color, and that's when my gut said, "Trouble! There's trouble!" Right here in Boredom City, and it was a capital L, and it, you know, it rhymes with E that stands for messy. Because then I looked across the room and stepped out from like behind a cardboard cut. I think it was a Pee Wee Herman cardboard cutout with a refund. I said, I don't know, Pee Wee was a mattress spokesperson. So maybe it wasn't Pee Wee Herman. Maybe it's just somebody else in it, because it was dark, you know, not all the lights were on. But Lionel Messi steps out behind the thing. And he always has this, like, I don't know if it's a goofy look, but like a friend that hasn't seen you in a while, like, look like, a half smile, but not like, I don't know. He's got a real nice look on his face. Always, it seems like he's partially amused. My sister's husband has that look a lot of times. And so you're always glad to see them. Except in this, I said, wait a second. I said, Lionel, right? Lionel. I said, well, I'll just go with Mr. Messi. And I did that. And there was some harumphs, and we shook hands, which was already awkward because normally, and then the snap started and it was bore down. And then I heard it in Spanish, in Portuguese, in Korean, you know, Chinese, hearing French, different languages mixing together. But it still had that do snap. And, you know, it infected my soul, I guess. And then Messi is as relaxed and joyful as he seems. He has a huge competitive spirit as well. And I sensed it in him. And I guess I took it as this was it. Like, we were already out on the stage. So I started trying to use the room, which I always forget. In any other situation, I don't use the stage. But so I started, he's cat-like. I figured I'd bring out my cat, and I started prowling the stage like a cat. And I said, Mr. Messi, you've come here to bore, have you? And he laughed. And again, this threw me off because he has this style of boring people. That was just like his style in the soccer field, I guess. He seemed like to just be having fun. And so he just seemed amused, and we were kind of, you know, feeling each other out. And I still didn't have a total idea of what I was in for. But then someone ran out with a piece of paper, and they handed it to Messi. And I said, okay, this is like, and you have to trust, you know, that you're not, like, you have to trust your skills. Like, you say, well, what if it's a setup? Like, is it some sort of setup? Since there's no rules, but there's people running the boar down. And I say, I knew the competitive fire within Messi, this was going to be a fair fight. And then he went to open the envelope, and then he handed it over to me. And then I said, wow. And I said, you read it, and I'll take it. And he said, fair enough. And then I said, you know, part of me, which I thought was maybe a sign of weakness, I said, hey, I wish we were best friends, you know. I said, geez, can you imagine just chilling with Messi? But then he read it, and he said, he pointed to me, he said, this is Willis Carter, the inventor of air conditioning. Kneel before your God. And then everyone did a snap support down, and I held my hand up, and I didn't want to say anything to the audience, but I was like, you know, you got to start to chill out. And I said, yeah, you might expect me to go on and on about the road I went down. Willis Carter's the name, air conditioning was not the game. Was it an accidental discovery? Or was it an intentional invention? I don't know. Ho humity do. But the South has become populated in the United States, I think, due to air conditioning. And uninhabitable places made habitable. What's the impact? I don't know. Ho humity humity ho. I'm here to tell you that I did it, though. I'm Willis Carter, the inventor of air conditioning. Hibbity humity hibbity ho. And then right away, the person ran out again, and they handed me an envelope, which was for now. I was like, okay, this is for Messi. And I opened it, and I said, sad looking bear. And then he had trouble because he's never sad looking, but then he just like lumbered around as a bear. He did like a little bit of a pantomime bore down. Which I was like, I mean, it's kind of advanced level stuff, or you could say super amateur, but oh no, not the way he moved. And it just takes a level, because you see, well, you don't want people watching you, but it was still early on. But he lumbered around, but then he got closer into the audience. And then he kind of did this hibernation thing, and I said, "Wow, this guy is—he's good. He's good. I'm in for. I got to bring my A game now." And then they ran out with the envelope again, and I said, "You know, you want to go back to back?" I just did that, and he said, "Okay." And I said, "I'm an electronics repair technician, disliked by Apple, and makes YouTube videos. Ask me anything." You know, that one wasn't easy, so I had to repeat it. And then he did like one of these, and I thought he was going to still pantomime things. But then he kind of did this routine where he made me an iPhone. And then he started doing this like dual routine. He said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "My screen's cracked." And he said, "Okay, well, let me change it out." And I said, "This guy, is he a student of Marcel or something? Because he was still doing this level of miming, but now he was using, I guess it wasn't miming because he was talking." But it wasn't, and this isn't critical, really critical, but just gave me a boost because they said that was a really tough one. And I didn't give it to him on purpose. But he didn't go for like the tropey thing where he like just went on and on. And so like he did a couple other things, but I could feel it. So then they ran back out with another envelope. and it was for me. And he said, through the fog, above the cloud, with a drone. And I said, you know, I said, a lot of people like to talk about Icarus and Daedalus, myself included. You know, and a couple of boars here, you know, some of us fly high during the day and nearly touch the sky. And some of us never fly. And I guess, you know, I don't know how many people are here are hardcore boar downers, but I get some criticism sometimes about this podcast I do, you know, pushing the boundaries of the boredom community, you know, out of the dark corners where celebrities can even hide their wonderful skills. And then people kind of, they perked up. I said, okay, this is a risk, because I grasped maybe a little bit too much attention. It was a little too concrete. But I said, I like to think about what would have happened if Daedalus and Icarus didn't fly too close to the sun, or if the day was a little more overcast, a high cloud cover. And, or maybe that the father was, what did we make it from wax for? He said, well, it's the only material I had available to me. And he said, well, couldn't you get some tar or something, or test it out in somebody else? And he said, well, I told him, don't fly too close to the sun. And he said, do you ever think about the irony of this, sun and the sun? He said, of course, of course. And then I gave Messi a look, like, you know, start flying, Daedalus. And he started to fly, and he was doing the shush, shush thing. And I said, through the fog, above the cloud, there's a drone. As the wind passes through Daedalus's wings. And I started to think that there is something to this, because Messi had that joyous look that you like to think Daedalus had. Or Icarus, I guess. I get them mixed up. That Icarus had on his face for a moment. Kid Icarus, you know, the game, flying through the clouds, not to break the top cloud cover, which would have been easier to tell your son than not too close to the sun. Just say, don't fly through the top clouds. And I was pretending the Pee Wee Herman cutout was Daedalus. That way I said, okay, that'll be easier for me not to keep screwing up the names. Through the flag. Above the cloud, with a drone comes Icarus, with a joyful breeze in his hair. Across the clouds, across the sky, over the fields he does fly. The joy of being free from the earth. From his father's gaze, to taste the freedom from the tower they're in. And they say, and they kind of lost it again. And then even like Messi made a joke, and he kind of like acted like he was in. And I did lose it. And so then the guy ran back out with another piece of paper. And it was a simple one. And I guess they kind of said, you want to take this? And Messi said, yeah. I said, this gem. And then first Messi started playing guitar. I thought that was like Gem in the Holograms. But then he made himself into a geode. Like he curled up and then he brought my hand over and cracked it. And I said, maybe he's not a very good boar because he's still doing, and I said, he's doing a mimetic boar down. But then he cracked it himself open like with my hand as a rock. And then he actually went on like an 8-minute tirade, like not a tirade, a board, you know, about crystalline formations. And some of the audience started to drop off. And I said, oh boy, he's got it. But, you know, the whoever the judges were, they felt like it was getting unbalanced. So they ran back out the paper for me. And Messi read it. And he said, a dead tree at the top of the Banks Peninsula, Canterbury, New Zealand. And I said, I guess this is going to be, this is a poetic one for me, because I said, that's another poetic image. And I said, I stand over watch. I look over fields. Once I had flown, but that time's been repealed. This dead tree is now my home. I live within, I live all alone. Here on the Banks Peninsula is where I'll stay. As my life drains away, like this tree, I'm getting old. It's leaving now. And I said, man, I still don't get it. And then I kind of started to say, and then Messi like kind of patted me on the back. And then they ran out with the envelope. And he said, he pointed to himself and then he was reading it himself. And then he said to me, he said, explain to me like I'm five. Why don't really long exposure photos weigh more megabytes? Shouldn't every pixel have the same amount of information regardless of how many seconds it was exposed? And I said, I don't know. And he said, neither do I. And I said, yeah, I don't even understand like the question, do you? And he said, I don't understand it at all. He said, really long exposure photos. So it means the camera's capturing the pixel for a longer amount of time, but pixels are different. Are pixels made up of ones and zeros? And he said, they may be. And I said, yeah, so a pixel's not the end amount of data, is it? I said, a pixel is just a gathering of ones and zeros. And each pixel doesn't necessarily contain the same amount of ones and zeros. And he said, he goes, that sounds about right to me. But, and I said, well, that doesn't explain it to you like it's five, though. And he says, you're right. He goes, but every second means more ones and zeros. And he goes, it'd be like if I opened the door to the store and let in a little bit of air from the outside, it would only get a little bit cold. But if I let in more air, it would get colder. He goes, but the air is invisible. So you'd say, well, how much air did you let in? And I said, we're close. He said, give us another one. And then they ran out. And they said, you want me to read? He said, yeah. He said, why isn't the radio distorted while traveling in a car? And then he said, see, come over. And we pulled up two chairs. And then he said, he pretended he was driving and he handed me the stereo. And I said, he said, this is wild. He's really pushing the boundaries of Boredown. Yeah, because he was doing this mime Boredown, you know. And then he turned on the radio and then I said, oh, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Welcome to Sunday Drive Radio. Radio Sunday Drives, you know, because like I had that down from another. It's just a lovely day here. We're here. We're playing live Icarus in the Sundays all day long. And, you know, this is an interactive radio because my friend here who's driving the car can hear me just fine. Can you hear me just fine? And he was still doing miming. But I said, and this was something I thought at the time and I still can't have an answer for. But I believe it to be true is that his body language and mimic motion was being picked up by people with their eyes closed. And you say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I said, well, that's people pushing the edges of boredom past the edge. And I realized this was some sort of Mr. Bean type. And I said, well, that age is right. Maybe Lionel Messi was a young man. Is that Mr. Banks? No, it's Mr. Bean. And then I was doing that, though. And he thought it was funny. And I said, oh. And they changed the channel. And I said, 10-penny radio, 1-penny, 2-penny. And they changed it again. And then I said, and Argentina's down 6 goals. And they changed it again. And I said, Sunday, the rain comes Sunday through the clouds. We wait for Monday. And they changed it again. And meanwhile, he was like rolling down the window and trying to figure it out. And he was changing it really fast. And he was pointing to his brain. And I said, welcome to Science Friday on Saturday night here. We're wondering how this radio sounds so darn good, even though this car is moving across time, across space, across inaudible transmissions. This radio brings clarity. In motion and intention bring clarity. And then he started interpreting what I was saying. Like the communication is happening. And even though the communication isn't really clear, it's being transmitted. And then I get so I lost it. I said, right when I was hitting it with Messi, like we were hitting some sort of bore unity. And then the person ran out with the red envelope, which I said, okay, this is the last envelope. And then he opened it, and I read it, couldn't, and then I showed it to Messi, and he was like shaking his head. I was shaking my head. And I said, Graham Norton loves Reddit. Reddit loves Jeff Goldblum. And I said, Jeff Goldblum is a gem. And I said, how do you feel about him in Argentina? And Messi gave me a thumbs up, and I said, okay, this must be his style. A silent bore. I said, Goldblum's no bore. And Graham Norton, I think, is a famous British interviewer, very beloved as well. But I got to say that I love your risk-taking and the field. You're a magician with your feet. Like Jeff Goldblum is a magician with hitting his beats, but I've never known someone to take a risk so great. And I'm sure the people backstage are saying, well, he can do it because he's famous. He can do it because he's rich. And maybe they're right, but I've never been more impressed, more honored. And then right then I saw the judge starting to move. And part of me was like, I had become unaware that we were even being judged. But then for a split second, I was like, I don't know. Well, how you could, I guess either he totally destroyed me. And I said, oh, I don't have my. And then right then the door, mattress door opened. And it was one of my nemesis, is one of the Argentinian the soccer committee members, and they said, Lionel, and then he like got this look, and then he was giggling, and so then they said, Lionel, they said, the sleep madman, and then it was a whole thing. Of course, it was my fault. This one was kept on the down low, because they said, what are you doing here? They said, and then he said, what is Lionel doing? He said, you are a bad influence on Lionel. And I said, Mr. Messi, we call him. And then people started waking up. We had put the whole store to sleep, Mr. Messi and I. But he was swept away by Sakurazzi, or whatever you want to call him. Never got his number, but I'll never, for the rest of my life, I'll never forget. I think I try to do stuff on this podcast and push the edges. And then you think, well, just have someone perform at such a high level on the soccer field, and then he can take things like Marcel, Mr. Bean, and other, maybe the Argentinian mime greats, I'm not sure. Or maybe just a busker he likes, and integrate him. And is that even possible? And then have him like a little bore unity. So that was in the most recent bore down I was involved in. And hope you enjoyed it. Maybe that didn't happen or not. I don't know. I mean, I do, but good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with, the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine has a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.